Good morning, everybody.
We're going to go back right to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. You all know it, chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God. I love that. I really love that. In the beginning, God. Not all scientists are atheists. A lot of scientists are Christian believers who actually believe in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They believe it as the infallible word of God. But a lot of scientists are atheists. This scripture says, in the beginning, God. If you're an atheist, you will be saying, in the beginning, there was nothing. And then there was a big bang. And then we have all this. That's what the scientists teach. That's what is taught in our schools, in our colleges, in our universities. In the beginning, nothing. Then there was a big bang. I prefer, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Because I've struggled with, in the beginning was nothing. And then there was a big bang. And everything came. Does that sound ridiculous to you? Believe it or not, it's even beginning to sound ridiculous to some atheistic scientists. I was listening to one the other week who said, it is a bit much to say in the beginning nothing and then a big bang. There had to be something before the big bang. Because if there was nothing, there was nothing to make a big bang. This is a scientist talking. So he says, what we think happened, something must have happened. And so, in the beginning, there was nothing. Space, nothing. But then, nothing compressed together and caused a big bang. That's what they're saying now. I kid you not, that is what they are saying. And my mind says to me, if there's nothing, how can nothing compress? Gas can compress, air can compress, but you can't compress nothing because there's nothing to compress. Something, what's the next thing they're going to bring out? In the beginning, nothing. And then we have all this. I much prefer, in the beginning, God. And I like, you know, you look at the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings, and it's not fairy stories, it's very, very deep. In the beginning, God. Where is the beginning? Well, we know there cannot be a beginning. There is no such thing as a beginning because there's always been. Come on, there cannot be a beginning. So in the beginning, God. God was in the beginning, but there's no beginning because God's always been in the beginning. He's always been. Isn't that wonderful? Because some people say, well, if there's God, who created God? Nobody, because he was in the beginning. He's always been there. And what's more, he's always created. If in the beginning there was God, you can then understand in the beginning God created. Now notice that. In the beginning God created. Not in the beginning there was nothing. Because if in the beginning there was nothing, there would still be, come on, say it. Nothing. Now, I know you're not scientists, and I know you don't have letters behind your name. I understand all that, but let me just tell you something. It doesn't take a lot to work out that if there's nothing, there is
nothing.
And what is nothing?
Nothing.
And I say this to some, I talked to a guy the other day. I says, if nothing created all this, then nothing could do it again. Does that make sense to you? If there's nothing but God. And he says, in the beginning, God. I like that. If you put God in the beginning, something happens. Creativity takes place. How many people here today feel that they could do with a miracle in their lives? Anybody? Good. One of the miracles is going to be today. Stay awake while I'm preaching. I see one or two of you beginning to nod off now. If I see you nod off, I'll come and tap you on your shoulder, okay? You've heard me say it before. If I've got to stay awake and preach, you've got to stay awake and listen. And it's a lot easier listening than it is preaching. I'll tell you that now. How many people could really say, John, I could do with a miracle today? Be honest. Come on. I'm surprised that some of you haven't got your hands up. What's wrong with you? You don't in some area of your life, in some part of your life, don't you feel there's a miracle needed? I do in mine. Well, in the beginning, God created. Put God in the beginning of everything you do. Put him right into the center of your marriage. Put him right into the center of your relationships. Put him into the center of your work experience. Put God in front. Put God right there at the beginning. There's another scripture that sort of backs this up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. He'll direct you. Isn't that wonderful? If God's in the beginning, put him in the beginning. Put him there. Put him there with your kids. Put him there with your entertainment, with your sport, with your work life, with your education. Whatever you do, put God in the beginning, and then you can expect a creative miracle to take place. Hallelujah. Because that's how our God is. He's a creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when he says heavens there, there's two kinds of heavens that the scriptures speak of. There's the heavens that we know as in our, the earth with the atmosphere around us, and then our solar systems with the moon and the planets. That's kind of a heaven. But there's another heaven, a spiritual heaven. If I was to say to you today, where is heaven, what would you do? Come on, I'm asking you the question, where's heaven? Only you know. Where's heaven? Come on, show me. Where is heaven? Come. What, hands down to me. What's wrong with you, Bob? Can you enter into this a little bit? Can you enter in? Don't just sit there like an icicle. Enter in. If I say to you, if your granddaughter or grandson said, where's heaven? What would you do? Come on, what would you do? Exactly. Now, if I was in England right now and I asked the same question, what would they do? They'd point up. In fact, wherever you go around the world, wherever, they all go, where is heaven? I think what we're saying is heaven is out of this world. Is that what we're saying? The heaven where God is. I don't think that heaven, this is only a personal opinion, it's not scriptural, but it's a personal opinion. I think that heaven is not a geographical situation. I think that heaven is a dimension. I think heaven is a dimension away, a dimension we step into. That's what I think. But you don't have to agree with that. That doesn't matter. But I think that heaven is a dimension. Before God made the earth, in the beginning, God created the heavens and then the earth. The heavens that God created consist not just of what I was saying with our air and atmosphere. No, because that's physical. Our air, our atmosphere is physical. God speaks of the heavens, which are a spiritual thing. Those heavens, to those heavens belong angels, seraphims, cherubims. The archangel belongs to them. We even have some names of angels, Michael and Gabriel. We know that God's created angels. And I looked in the book of Revelation to see if I could find out how many angels there are. And in the King James Version, it says this, there are myriads and myriads and myriads more. How many is that? Oh, Lord. In other words, there's no actual figure on them. There probably are trillions of angels. Do you know how I know this? Because in the beginning, God created the heaven. Right in the, he's been creating forever. Don't think that you're the only ones that he's created. He's created heavenly beings, spirit beings, forever, and will continue to do so because he is a creative God. He's a wonderful creative God. And then he did something which he hadn't done before. God created the heavens and the earth. He brought about a physical creation, and that earth is part of our solar system, our Milky Way, our galaxies, the universes. That earth is a physical creation that God brought about. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created something physical that he'd not created before. Everything before was spiritual. God is a spirit. You know that, don't you? You know God encompasses everything, and God is everywhere. He's not a man. He's God Almighty, the creator of all things. He is powerful. He is everywhere. Nothing is beyond his reach. He knows everything. And then he created that which was physical out of that which was not physical. What a miracle that was. And if you look in Genesis chapter 1, he then restores the earth. Because it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form. It was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was not a place to live on. The earth was not completed. He started to create, but hadn't completed it. And then in the 6 days, he completed it or restored it. It's 6 days in which he restored the earth. And each day, God stood back from what he did and says, it's good. Oh, it's good. It's good. And then the last day, he put you and me on here. He put us on the earth. And then he stepped back and he says, it's very good. This is God is saying what he's made is very good. Now, if any of you here are creative people, I do a bit of oil painting and I grow bonsais, and sometimes I'm painting a painting and I'm looking at it and I like it. And I step back and I think, man, that's good. I do. That's not pride. That's because I think what I've made is good. Until I put it next to a Leonardo da Vinci, and then I think it's rubbish. But anyway, but you understand, has anybody here who's creative and made something, and you've stood back from it, you thought, hey, that's good. Anybody like me, or is it just me? Oh, a few more hands are going up. Come on, be honest. Come on, enter in. Yeah, it's well, God did the same. He made us on this earth, this physical creation, and he says, very good. He was pleased with what he had made. He'd made something absolutely incredibly unique, never made before. We're not an angel. We're not like the angels. We're something totally different. We have a spirit, like an angel does. We have a soul, which is our character, our personality, our ego, our us, the conscious thinking self. And we have a body that was, wow, that was something incredible, because the body senses and feels. And have you ever thought how incredible your body is? Have you ever thought what an incredible piece of machinery you are? Have you ever thought about your brain? How many memories and thoughts you hold in the brain? Come on. Have you ever thought of it? In your brain, there are trillions of memories, trillions of thoughts. Where are they? Has any doctor or surgeon ever sliced the brain open and found where your memories are? Come on. Your memories are very real, powerful things that shape you and make you, and you don't know where they are. They're somewhere in that gray matter. He's a clever God, I'm telling you. Come on. He's put them in that sloppy gray matter, and you think, you love, you feel, All through there. And you know when you feel pain in your knee or in your arm and your leg, you know, you don't feel it there. You think you do, but you don't. You know where you feel it? In your brain. Your body has got all these pain sensors. That when you feel pain, it's not your hand that feels it, but you think it is. It's not your leg that feels it, but you think it is. Not. Your brain is feeling the pain to let you know something's wrong. Who thinks that's incredible? All these, you've got millions of pain sensors in your body. Some parts of the body have more pain sensors than others, like the eye and the tongue. Some parts of the body don't have so many, but every part of your body has pain sensors. But do you know what? Your brain doesn't have any. If I slice you open and stick a knife in your brain, you don't feel it. You'll die, but you don't feel it. What a remarkable piece of machinery is the brain. God made us. He created us. Absolutely unique. Chapter 1. Then if you read on for just six chapters, which are a period of about 2,000 years, in the sixth chapter, God says something else. Chapter 1, he says, very good. Chapter 6, he says, I wish I'd never made them. Look at the motley mob they are. He's sorry he made us. He's actually saying to the angels, what a mistake this was. Look at a bunch of them. They're evil, they're wicked, they're selfish, they're lustful. They're full of pride, full of greed, full of anger. I wish I'd never made them. They're evil. Wow. What an indictment that is against us, eh? Isn't it? Come on. And you know, I'm really glad because God is a creator and he's still creating. You see, this... what is made has become pretty pathetic. Don't blame him, by the way. Don't blame him. It's your fault. It's our fault. It's the world's fault. How many of you know the world's in a mess? I was looking the other day in the United States of America and all that's happening there, and I thought, why is America called the United States? It's anything but united. It is one of the most divided nations on the earth today. Do you know it is on the brink of civil war? And it always has been. It's divided. And then we've got a group of nations that meet together and they call themselves the United Nations. I think, what's united about them? There's nothing united at all. What a strange, motley crowd we've become. And all the problems we have, we often try to blame God for it. Don't blame God. They're our problems. I want to tell you, God is a great, great creator. And you know one of the big problems that we have? We think that we're pretty big. You know, we think we're pretty smart. We think that we're pretty good. We think that, you know, we've got it all together. I was doing a little bit of study on our son. Our son is one star amidst trillions of stars. Now, I understand 100 pretty well. I can get my head almost around 500. I can get it around 1,000. But I've never yet got my head around 1,000,000. Have you? Oh, perhaps you're more clever than I am. I've never got it round 1,000,000, and I tell you what, I can't really get it round 1,000,000,000. And now they're talking in terms of trillions. I can't get my head around 1,000,000,000,000. And they say to me, there are trillions of stars. Trillions of stars out there. Suns like ours. And our sun is just one average sun amongst them all. It's not a huge one. It's an average. Do you know how big our sun is, though? Listen to this. This will shock some of you. Our earth is pretty big because we think our earth is a big earth. Come on. You can fit 1,300,000 Earths inside the sun. Can I say it again? 1,300,000 Earths can fit into the sun. So who thinks the sun's pretty big? I do. The energy produced by the sun, listen to this, is equivalent to a trillion megaton bombs every second. Every second, the energy it gives off is equivalent to a trillion. Remember, I can get my head around 500. I could squeeze 1,000, but a million's beyond me. A trillion per second, one megaton bombs is what the sun is producing in its energy. It's absolutely fantastic. 70% of the sun is hydrogen. And the rest is made up of nitrogen, lots of other smaller gases. The heat that it gives off, and it gives off heat at different times, different places, but on an average, the core. Now, who thinks it gets hot when you get to 38 degrees? Who's looking for an air conditioner at 38? Yeah, some of you are looking for an air conditioner at 25. So yeah, that's hot. Well, let me tell you, the sun is 15 million degrees Celsius. Did you hear that? 15 million degrees Celsius. That's a big sun. 1,300,000 Earths can fit into it. And our sun is just an average sun. There are some suns that are so big that they stretch from where our sun is now and cover our earth. Can you imagine the energy they're giving off? When I started to think about this, I thought to myself, wow, how big is the universe? Come on, how big is the universe? How big is it? Because I think I'm big. You think you're big. We think the earth is big. We think the sun is big. But as we start looking at these things, guess what? We get smaller. How do you think a flea feels? How do you think a flea feels at the side of all that? And I remember asking the Lord once, I says, Lord, when I was doing some studies, I said, why did you make us so small? You don't ask questions like that. You're not like me, probably. I said, why are we so small? Why couldn't you have made us 1,000 kilometers tall? That's what I said to you, because it's plenty of space. There's no shortage of space. Would you agree to that? I said, why did you make us so small? And then God says to me, John, you just don't understand it. All space, all size is relative. And I think, wow. At the side of all that, I'm just tiny. And then I think of what I'm made up of, all the atoms within me, all the neutrons and the electrons. Man, I'm nothing. And yet we walk about, we stride about like we're it. Come look at me. Come on. Look at me. I'm the one. Don't we? We do. And all our television and all that we do these days with all the things along the talent contests and the cooking things and the kitchen. Have you seen The Kitchen from Hell? I haven't. I've just looked at the adverts. When I saw The Kitchen from Hell, I thought, I don't want to watch that. Making a big thing out of people who cook and chefs. I think, what are we doing to the human race? We're making ourselves big. You know, we even use a word that I think is sad. You know, we have singing contests, talent times, and we say, oh, look at him. He's awesome. Look at her. What an awesome voice. Give me a break, will you? There's only one person who's awesome. That's God. He made it all. Come on. He made it, created it, formed it, fashioned it. He's the awesome God. Don't you call another human being awesome, because they ain't. They're sinners. But if they're saved, they're sinners saved by grace. And that still don't make them awesome. It makes God's grace awesome. Can I have an amen? Amen. Bit louder than that. Come on. Amen. And do you know, God hasn't stopped creating, because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth had not yet been completed, so he set about to complete it, and then man mucked it up. But there's a beautiful scripture, and you know it well, in 2 Corinthians, and it says, if any man, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now that gives me a lot of hope. Because when I read Genesis chapter 6, do you know what God did with them? What did God do with them all? Come on, what did he do with them all in Genesis 6? He destroyed them, flooded the earth, drowned a lot of them apart from Noah. Thank God for Noah, otherwise you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. But he wasn't perfect, neither was any that followed him perfect. And God looked at this earth with all of its mess, with all of its disasters, with all of its hotspots. And today, the amount of hotspots that are on the earth, with all our education, with all our advancements in science, we haven't advanced at all. Not really. In our Western world, where there's so much money, so much education, so much going for us, our prisons are overflowing, our mental institutions are full to overflowing. More people commit suicide in Australia every year than people die on the roads. I mean, young people as well. What's happened to this crazy world? Well, God's not given up. He says, if any man will come to his son, Jesus Christ, that man, that woman, will become a new creation. I want everybody now, if you feel like you're falling asleep, just open your eyes wide like that. And look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, everybody in this room. You're looking at a new creation. Hallelujah. But not outwardly. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Not outwardly. You're looking at a new creation of what I am inside. See, God started on my spirit. See, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered on the face of the waters. The word hovered means to brood, like a hen sits on its eggs and broods. And it said the Holy Spirit was brooding on this dark earth that's not yet completed. He was waiting, brooding, waiting. And he was waiting for God to speak. Because the next verse it says, God says, let there be light. So the Holy Spirit went to work and there was light. And the earth started to be totally completed. Because the Holy Spirit does the work of God. He completes it. Now, listen to this. God started a new work. You're looking at him now, and I pray by the grace of God, because I don't know you people, you see, but I hope you all, pardon me, I hope you're a new creation, because if you're not, he needs to be, doesn't he, this one? I know him. I know this one well. You see, I know him. I've known him for donkey's years. He's a good man, but he didn't used to be. Do you hear what I'm saying? If we're in Christ, we become a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and that starts in your spirit. Doesn't start with your body. Some of us wish it did. Come on, when you looked in the mirror this morning, you're like, oh, God. Where's this new creation you keep speaking about? It's getting older all the time. I was in my daughter's church the other week, and she brought a friend to church who she hadn't seen for over 30 years. And this friend used to be in my youth group in Belmont. And when she was 15, 16 years of age, and she's sitting, and I was preaching actually on that Sunday, she's sitting on the front row next to Pastor Pam and my daughter, and I'm looking at her and I'm saying, you remember me, don't you? She says, yeah, because she's a woman now. And I said, you remember me? Do you remember when I used to have that long flowing black hair? Big black sideburns down here. Do you remember? She says, yeah. I says, where did it all go? I was a youth leader, handsome, better looking than these guys here. I was handsome. And what's happened? Well, time happened, didn't it? And your face starts to twist and contort. No matter what you do with it, it still contorts, doesn't it? And little lines come that never used to be there. And things fall out that you really treasure. And then things grow where they shouldn't grow. You know what I'm talking about? And we seem to have no control over that at all. We call it old age. And we look in the mirror and we say, gee, what is happening? I think I told you this once before, but a lot of you haven't heard it. Imagine that wall represents your birth, that wall. And that wall over there represents your demise, okay? So I got born over here, and when I got to the age of 15, I became a Christian. I went into a church to break a church meeting up. I went with a gang of lads. We were rebels. Anyway, I got saved. I got wonderfully changed. I was 15. I'm only 15, so I see where I've come from. Only 15. Over there, I can hardly see it, you know, because when you're 15, you think 40 is old. You don't. When you're 15, you think 40. Whoa, that's over the wall. Yeah, but funnily enough, you can't stay here. You can't stay here. Somehow, some way, it progresses. You sort of just keep moving. No matter how much you try and stop, it just keeps moving until you reach the age of 40, and then you say, "Oh, 40's not old. Oh, no, 70's old. 70's old." But you don't stop at 40. You just keep going. You keep progressing. You go further. And further, and further, until you get to the place where you're sort of a halfway mark. You know, you can hardly see where you've come from, and you're beginning to see where you're going. And then you keep going, and then you reach 70, and you say 70 is not old. No way, 80 is old. And you keep going. You see, you keep progressing. Now I am 76, so where I am on this line, I'm not sure. I like to think, if that's my demise and that's where I start, I'm 76, I like to think I'm about here. But who thinks I'd be fooling myself? Yes. I'm somewhere down here. Now, when you reach the 70 mark, you can't see that. That's so far away. You can't even remember it. But you can see that as plain as the nose on your face. You suddenly say to yourself, hang on a minute. I've got a use-by date. Don't you? I'm serious. You young people don't know what I'm talking about. I know that. I know. Don't it still happen to you? Believe me, it'll happen. You can't stop it. And suddenly you've got a use-by date. A shelf life. And then you start to get a bit... Some of you, I'm round about some of you a lot closer than me. Some of you are right up here now. You're staring it right in the face. But you know the wonderful thing, if you're a Christian, like I am, you know when we actually get to here and it's time for our demise, you don't hit that and drop. You just go straight through. Hallelujah. To a far better place than this. And when you pass through that, you've got all your hair. You've left your false teeth behind. You've left your glasses behind. You've left these clothes behind. And you're a totally new creature. You've got a new body. You have a new spirit right now. You've been resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is a resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, we believe in him. He's resurrected and we've got a new life. Come on, you start to appreciate it because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Some people say to me from time to time, John, you know, they might be down in the dumps and they say, John, I really look at my life, my Christian life, and I think to myself, I should be a lot further along the mark than I am spiritually. I've been saved a fair while, John, and I've heard a lot of Bible studies, a lot of sermons. I've read the Bible. I should be further down that track than I am. A lot of people say that to me. And when they do, I say to them, you're not on your own, because I feel the same. You? I say, yes, I feel the same. From all that I've learned and all that I know, I think I should be closer to God than what I am. But one thing I do, I don't get depressed by it. I don't get condemned by it. Because what I do, I turn around and I look at where I've come from. I may not be where I think I should be, but I know how far I've come. I know how far God has brought me. I know how He's changed me. And I could say to you that every day, in every way, I'm getting better all the time. I'm not perfect. I like to think I am. But my wife sitting at the back, if you want to know whether I'm perfect or not, go ask her. She'll tell you the truth. I'm not perfect. I've got a lot of things that need to be changed still in my life. But the point is, I know I should be further down. But the wonderful thing is, God has not finished with me or you yet. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. But God says, let there be light. And the Spirit of God moved and created this beautiful earth on which we live. He's made us a new creature. You've got a new spirit. You're new. Don't ever lose that sense of newness. I speak to every man, woman, boy, or girl today. Don't lose the sense of newness that you are in God. You are a new creation. Do not try to measure yourself by the world, because if you do, you'll go down in the dumps, because the world's measurements are wrong. The world can only measure itself by itself. Don't do that, because you will become incredibly depressed if you do. Measure yourself by the grace of God that is within you, of what He's done for you, of how He's lifted you, how He forgave you. Do you know, I was 15 when I got saved, so I got saved down here. 15 years of sin, a lot of sin, He washed them all away. I once led a man to the Lord who was 86 years of age. He was right down here. He'd never been a Christian. He was 86. I led him to the Lord. He got 86 years of sin washed away. He died within a few months and went to heaven. He says to me just before he died on his deathbed, these last few months have been the happiest years of my life. He says to me, I just wish I'd done this when I was a teenager. So you people here who are saved, don't you get used to the fact that you're new, because you are new. Praise God. You're new. All of you, inside, you have a wonderful spirit. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is in all of you. It's there. Don't get used to it. Don't take it for granted. Even though you see yourself getting old and your body's not doing what it should do, doesn't matter. Your spirit is what God is seeing. Amen. And the growth in that. Because the wonderful thing is, see, at the moment, we look after our bodies. You see that. You can see I've looked after my body. You can see that today I looked in the mirror before I came out. Look, I put some clean clothes. I had a shave. I got 3 days of bristle on there before this morning. I've shaved. I look handsome now, don't I? Well, poor, sort of. But you know, I'm looking after myself. You do. You ladies, you look after. I could tell by all that stuff you've got on, all of it. You look after yourself. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But do you know the new creation, your body that God's going to resurrect, you won't have a part to play in that. And it's going to be pretty good. When we get to heaven and you look at me, you're going to go, wow. What a hunk. That's what you're going to say. Because I'm a new creation. And I'm going to look at you and I'm going to go, whoa, look at yourself, will you? Do you know, I've got a sneaky suspicion there's going to be no mirrors in heaven. Do you know why? We don't need them. Because we're perfect. Come on. Yeah, God doesn't need a mirror. The angels don't look in mirrors. Come on, we don't need mirrors. And you definitely won't have an Avon lady up there. Well, you might have one, but she won't be selling Avon. She'll be there if she's a Christian. But because He's done the work. Now, I'm saying to you this morning, don't let the devil drag you down. Don't get so used to this world and the things that's happening here that you feel that you're a part of it. You're not a part of this world. You're not. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what you are. You've been set apart by God. Okay, the body's still the same. The body's growing older. All those things. And we see things around us we don't like. We see things around us that hurt us. We see things around us that could disillusion us. But don't fix your eyes on them. Remember, in the beginning, God. Put God first in your life. When you wake up tomorrow, don't wake up without God on your mind. Wake up putting God first in your day. Put Him there with the kids. Put Him there with your husband, with your wife. Put Him there with all those things that are important and dear. Put God there and say, Lord, I'm part of your new creation. And this is a day that you have made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in this day. I refuse to let this day drag me down. We had a lady in our church that went to be with the Lord this year. She was an old lady in her 90s. And when I first came to the church, she was in a wheelchair then. She'd been in a wheelchair for many, many years. But she was such a wonderful, wonderful lady. I can't, in the time I knew her, ever hear her complaining or moaning about anything. But she was in constant pain. She was, yeah. But you never would hear her complain or grumble or grizzle. She was a real inspiration to me. And she went to be with the Lord. And she went to be with Him in joy, in peace. Because she didn't put her eyes on what she can see. She walked by faith and not by sight. Do you know, it's a lesson for us all as Christians to learn. I'm developing a message on that. To walk or live by faith and not by sight. Because the moment we start to live by what we see, we then become, listen to this, if you're living by your sight, you become competitive. This world is a competitive world. And when you stop and think about it, everything drives us into competition, whatever it is. It is a competitive world out there in everything that happens because they've got no other measuring sticks. But it becomes competitive because they measure themselves by themselves. They measure their finances according to the person next door. They measure their education according to someone perhaps that they know. They measure their athletic skills by people around. They measure themselves by other people and become highly competitive. And that competitiveness is not good. It ultimately destroys us when you live by sight and not by faith. Because if you live by faith, you're getting all that you need from the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You should be living out of the Word of God, not out of Facebook. I know I joke about Facebook a lot when I come here. I've said in other churches I do as well. I am on Facebook, but I very rarely go on it because I find it rubbish. Most of it is competitiveness. You're competing with others as to what you've done, where you've been, what you had for dinner, what bus you're driving on now, what clothes you just went to buy. Come on. That's the depth of conversations, competing without realizing it. And it's not true friendship. True friendship really says, I care about you. What are you doing? What's your life like? Where do you need help? How can I pray for you? That's when you're living out of faith, out of God's word. That's how Jesus lived. Jesus was never competitive. Do you know Jesus never went to Bible college? That really encourages me. Does. He does. Do you know you cannot get a credential in our movement now unless you've done certificate 4? I think, well, Jesus would have been in trouble, wouldn't he? So would John and Peter and Paul. They'd all been in trouble. But now it almost becomes a competitive thing. Do you know ministry is what God gives and God calls people by what he puts within them, not by whether you've done cert 4 or not. And listen to this. I started a Bible college. I started one because I believe in Bible study. Don't get me wrong. If people want to go to Bible college, I think it's a great thing to do, provided we don't become competitive. But the Bible college I started, I got to a stage where they wouldn't let me preach in the Bible college because I didn't have cert 4. I'd done no studying. I've not even done a correspondence course. So I, who started this Bible college, was not allowed to preach in it. I'm serious. Where are we going, friends? What are we getting to? I look at our Pentecostal movement, not just the Assemblies of God or ACC, but the other movements as well. Where is Pentecost today? We're speaking in tongues. Where is it? Where's the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Where is it? Well, we've put it out of the door because we don't want to offend people. We want to run services that are seeker-sensitive and user-friendly. And we don't want to put or upset people. Friends, I want to tell you, you look at the history of the Pentecostal movement, it grew on upsetting people. Come on. Come on. If the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you and give you a word for somebody, who's to say you can't? Where are we going, friends? We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get our eyes fixed back onto the Holy Scriptures, onto God's Word. We've got to use God's Word, Old and New Testament. Don't you be one of those people who say you don't believe in the Old Testament, because you're an idiot if you say that. The Old Testament are Scriptures. The New Testament are Scriptures. The word old and new is what we've put on it. God didn't call it the old, and he didn't call it the new. He said there are his Scriptures. Paul was writing letters that didn't realize he was inspired of the Holy Spirit to be writing Scripture. The old and the new are God's word. Amen. You're going to get a shock, because when you get to heaven, because it says heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. So some of you who don't like the Old Testament, when you get to heaven, you're going to get a shock, because it's there. Come on, it's never going to pass away. So let's get back into the Scriptures. Start loving the Scriptures, the old and the new. Start living by the Scriptures and living by faith. And if you feel that you're a little bit downcast, and if you feel like some that you're not where you should be, and you're beginning to wonder, what is it all about? Stop and think this morning. I've tried to make you and myself see how big we are. We're nothing. Whatever we are, whatever we have, it's all down to him. And if I'm going to live a life in eternity with him, full of joy and peace, eternal bliss, it's because of what he's done in this sinful person by his grace. He's transformed me. I may not be as happy with myself as what I should be, but I look back and I thank God where I've come from. I am not back there. At least I'm on the road. I'm on the straight and narrow. Can I pray for people here this morning who would say to me, John, I feel a bit like that. I feel as if I'm struggling. I'm not where I should be. Well, stop. You've heard God's word this morning through me. God's tried to remind you how big he is, how small you are, and that the work of salvation is his. Don't quote that scripture to me. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I don't mind you quoting it, so long as you quote the whole verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You ain't doing it at all. It's him. Amen? So just close your eyes, bow your heads. And I just want to ask this morning, if there's anybody here that you've come into this place and maybe you're feeling a little bit, I don't know, out of sorts. You know, you're just not, it's not clicking for you as it should. You know, you just sort of take a day at a time, and there's not a lot of joy these days of the Lord. Not a lot of peace that you've known in the past. And maybe you're just doing things religiously. And that's a wrong way to do them. I want God to remind everyone, myself as well, that we are what we are because of the grace of God. Let us put God first. In the beginning, God. Maybe it's time to bring him back into the beginning of your life right now. As you go from this place, go with God in you now. Let this be a beginning for you. Say, God, come in. Jesus, come and fill me. Jesus, take over. I want to keep walking with you. I see the world, it has no answers. Politics, no answers. Religion, no answers. Money doesn't answer anything. What matters, Jesus, is you. Because you're bigger than all this. One day you're going to take us out of this to a glorious place. If this morning I can offer a prayer for you, I'd love to do that. If you would like me just to pray for you, I'm not going to ask you to come out. But if you know that you want to put God first, in all your ways, acknowledge him. If you want to do that, Will you just raise your hand so I can see it just now? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, a lot of hands are going up. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray now. Is anybody who didn't raise their hand that knows they need to just now? Let me pray for you as well. Come on. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. In the beginning, God. Father, as I've ministered this word, I pray your Holy Spirit will just cause it to really bring forth fruit in our lives. Mine as well, Lord. We want to walk through this life with you, God, in the beginning. We realize that our minds, as wonderful as they are finite compared to yours. And so, Lord, we need to trust in you and not in each other. We need to trust in you and not in religion. We need to trust in you and not in this world. We need to trust in you and not in ourselves. Help us, Jesus, to go from this place having trust and confidence in you. For each person who raised their hand, you just see where they're at right now. You know what they're going through. You know the trials. You know the life situations that they are in. But Lord, don't let those situations imprison them. Help them to break through and be the people that you've called them to be. And I pray for all of us, Lord, myself as well, all of us here. Let us go from this place, putting you first, waking up tomorrow with a song in our hearts to you and praising you as we should praise you and living for you as we should. And if there's anybody here, Lord, that doesn't know you in a real and personal way, if there's anybody here that's never had their sins washed away, I pray they will do that just now. So I wonder if there's anybody here, if you've come into this place and you're not born again, you're not a Christian, you're not putting God first at all. I don't know why you're here. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you've come out of curiosity. I don't know, but you know you're not putting God first. Facebook means more to you than God. Magazines mean more to you than God. TV means more to you than God. Food means more to you than God. But if this morning you've heard this message and you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ, I'd like to pray for you. If you're backslidden, walking away from God, and you know you need to come back, I want to pray for you. So while everyone is praying just now, if you want to become a Christian, to be forgiven for the things you've done wrong, just raise your hand so I can see that, and I'll pray with you just now. Anybody at all, just raise it high so I can see. Yeah, young man there, God bless you. And that lady there, I see your hand, God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you, thank you. See that lady's hand there. Anyone else want to say, I want to become a Christian today. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Anybody else just now? I'm going to pray right away. Anyone else? Now I'm going to say this prayer, and everybody in the congregation, say this prayer after me. Those of you who raise your hand, you say this prayer with me. Everybody's going to say it with you to help you. Say this just now. Heavenly Father, I realize I am a sinner, and I ask you to save me. Come into my life. Forgive me for my sin. Make me a new person today. I receive your love. I receive your peace. And I receive the gift of eternal life. Help me to follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life. And I will give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.